Hello, everybody. Hello, folks. This is Pastor Brandon coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brandon live broadcast. And it's good to be here today. Good to be here this evening. Saturday? It's already Saturday today. So happy Saturday. Hope you guys are having a great weekend. Going to be starting... And I do actually have a couple of things I want to say, and we got a lot of stuff to go through tonight, so I don't want to rush it, but I want to be sure to get everything in. But it's good to be here. But before we begin, and before we even get into the lesson and stuff, I do have some announcements. Want you guys to keep in mind, tomorrow, if the good Lord wills, I may do a live devotional tomorrow. But on Monday, there will not be a Fishers of Men broadcast. The reason for that is because Monday is New Year's Eve. So New Year's Eve, we're going to be doing our first ever New Year's Eve kind of like service. I guess you could say online service. And we're going to be just having some fun with worshiping the Lord, doing some preaching of the word, counting down the new year, and then we're just gonna just do a devotional to kind of kick off the year. So pray for me on that. That's gonna be on Monday night, and we're gonna broadcast anywhere from probably in either be about 11 or 11:15. So keep me in prayer for that. Keep me in prayer for a message. Keep me in prayer for a devotional, and just pray that God will have His way and will. So we're going to be doing that on Monday. So Monday night, okay, that's going to be around 11:15 p.m. So if you guys can tune in, we'd be more than happy for you guys to tune in on that night. Because it would be a good time just to kick off the new year, just to praise and worship the Lord. Amen. Secondly, I want to say is I do actually have cards coming in the mail to help promote the sermon audio ministry. So they should be coming soon. So that's a praise. I praise God and thank God that He has given me the ability to do this. So pray for the sermon audio ministry. I think, it's just a lot of just bigger outreach that way. Amen. So pray for that. Pray for me, pray for me and my family, and for the ministry. Pray that God will just get things like taken care of and settled. And I know He will, even though it may not seem like it, but He will. But God always comes through. He always provides for His people. God always is loving. And sometimes our flesh doesn't want us to see that. Sometimes our flesh likes to prod us a little bit. So we got that coming up. That should be coming in the mail soon. Praise the Lord. Let's see here. Okay, I want to mention this too. Tonight's going to be kind of a special Pastor Brandon Live. I'm going to sing a cappella. I got a hymn book here. Y'all can see that. Okay, got a hymn book. And really quickly, I like singing hymns. And there are times even at work that I like praising the Lord. But God says that we should praise and give glory and honor to God. And so I have a hymn book, actually one that I purchased, nice red hymn book. It's a praise and songs and hymns hymn book. And so I'm going to be singing. There is going to be one I will be singing shortly. I'm going to sing Amazing Grace with no instruments, with no music. I'm just going to sing a cappella. I'm just going to sing Amazing Grace, and there's going to be one hymn I'm going to sing after I get done preaching. And so, yeah, that's going to be something new I'm going to try out. And it's actually going to be something that I'm going to be doing for our the video on New Year's Eve. And I'm going to do it that way because I think it's important that if we're going to celebrate New Year's, we should do it in such a way that we should be unique. And if we're going to usher in the new year, me personally, I would rather do it with preaching and singing and praising God and taking time to just step away from the world. And by the way, we should always be stepped away from the world, but during a time where when people are going out and getting drunk and watching the ball drop, which don't mind me. I mean, listen, I'm not against people watching the ball drop. Okay, if you want to stay home and stay up late night and watch the ball drop, hey, well, that's fine. But people use New Year's as an excuse to go out and get drunk. But I think we should use New Year's to focus on our blessed hope and to press forward towards the mark and to move forward. Amen. And so I just want to take the time this New Year's to praise and worship the Lord. But also I want to use the gifts and talents that God has given me to win souls. If that makes... Amen? So I want to use... And we should... And there's the thing. We should all use our gifts and talents every single day to win souls. But New Year's is a big deal. Because New Year's Eve, you know, is moving forward and ushering the new year. And I know great Bible believers who pray in the new year, and I admire that. And that provokes me to doing something. That provokes me to, you know, doing the same thing, you know, praying in the new year, worshiping and praising God. Amen. And that should not just be one day of the year. That should be on a daily basis. But that should be even more so on New Year's. Amen. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sing a cappella on that video, that upcoming video, and I'm going to be singing a couple of songs from this particular hymn book. So that's what I'm going to do. I hope that, and the thing is, I'm not a good singer, but the Bible says make a joyful noise. So I will make a joyful noise. I will make a joyful noise. Even if I can't sing well, I'm still going to sing because, you know, I think that singing can, I mean, music has power. Amen. Music has power and influence, but it depends on what music you're listening to. Amen. This is why we should be listening and singing hymns, because hymns and songs are scripture put in song. Amen. So that's what I'm going to do a little bit tonight. And if it goes well, I mean, who knows? I might even just, it might be something I'll be starting in the new year. So pray for me on that. Today's message, I'm going to just kind of introduce the topic. Today's message is entitled, Living Epistle. And what I mean by that is that we are to be living epistles. Amen. We are to live our lives in reflection to God's word. Amen. Now, we're not saved by works. We're not. Okay? We do works because we are saved. Okay? But our lives need to reflect the word of God. Amen. And all of us need to live lives that reflect the word of God. Much easier said than done, but we need to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Amen. We are to be living. See, this Bible here is a love letter that God gave to us. And everything that we need to know is in this book. This is God's love letter to us. And this shows us how much God loves us. And the thing is sometimes I think even believers, sometimes it's like we don't even bother getting in detail on how much God loves us. I'm not saying that we should comprehend it, because there's things that, I mean, we can't really comprehend how much God loves us. But we can read about it. And so, and even a lot of supposed Christians will don't even want to bother reading the ultimate love letter that God gave to us. And that ultimate love letter that God gave to us is your authorized King James Bible. Now, when I say love, let me explain what I mean by that. When I say love, I don't mean compromise love. Okay? The mega churches are the ones that are teaching compromise love. And what I mean by that is, They'll say, we need to love one another, and their tone by that is, you need to compromise what you believe in, okay? But true love does not compromise. True love exhorts, encourages, rebukes, and chastens. There's a lot more, but a couple examples. Amen? So, there is a couple of, I mean, and so we need to understand that love is not about compromising. Love is, Jesus said, there is no greater love for man to lay his life down for his friends. Amen. There's no greater love for man to lay his life down for his friends. And so I'm going to be talking tonight about being living epistles, okay, and we're going to be talking about why we need to be living epistles, okay, so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. So I know I kind of already preached a little bit there, but before we get into even more in depth of the message, really quickly, before you all hear me sing a cappella, let's do some prayer requests real quick. Actually, let's do some prayer requests and we'll take a look at something in the news. And then we'll sing and then we'll get into the message. Now, see, prayer requests. Please, we do have one of our dear brothers in the Lord, Joey. He's got pain. So if you can pray for him, it's one of those things that is kind of a daily thing for him where he experiences pain here and there. It's not something that, well, it will eventually go away when he goes home, but it's something that that pain just is there, you know? So pray for him. Pray that God will comfort him through those pain. Through the pain that he has, pray that God will, you know, be able to comfort him on a daily basis. Please pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for these videos. Pray for, pray for the ministry. Pray that God will take and do with it as he wills. And please, there's another prayer request. A fellow sister, please pray for her. I'm not going to mention names, and that's just because I'm trying to be respectful to others. So please pray for there's a fellow sister that needs prayer for her mother and just for strength. So pray for her on that. Now I do mention Brother Joey's name because he actually has given me permission and he doesn't mind me mentioning him by first name. So that's why I mention him by name. There's others that are not comfortable with me mentioning by name. So that's why I always say that if you have a prayer request, if you want me to mention you by name, I will mention you by name. But if not, I'm not going to mention you by name. But if you want me to you know, share the prayer request, I'll be happy to do so. Oh, I had to take a quick drink of water. Okay, so, let's see here. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our vice president. We need to be praying for, we need to pray for direction in this nation. Our nation is in such bad shape right now. And this nation, I mean, here's the thing. I voted for Trump, and he wants to make America great again, and I'm for America being better. But here's the thing. America is not going to be great again until we come back to Jesus Christ. But till that happens, we're still, this nation is still in trouble with God. So we need to pray for our nation. Daniel did that. Daniel prayed for his people. I think Daniel presents provides an example to every single one of us that we should be praying for our people, for our nation. let's see here. What else? I got a whole bunch of other ones on here, but I'm not going to go through every single one of them just because I don't know if they want me, so I'm just going to sort of leave it at that. Let's see here. There is something in the news that I came across I want to touch on real quick. And it's something I found on Drudge Report. I got to find it here. Drudge Report. There we go. I got my laptop. Got everything all kind of booted up. And got the Bible software booted up. I got my note. I actually don't have notes. I'm sort of just going to let the Holy Ghost lead me on this particular message. But normally I have notes. And actually I do have some notes I'm going to be going off to. So in a way I do. Let's see here. There is something I want to talk about real quick. And it has to do with the chaotic, brainwashed leftist people that are causing trouble in this nation, and how deranged people can get. And here's the thing, people now who act this way really need to be deprogrammed, and they need to be deprogrammed, and they need to be born again, and they need to read a King James Bible and get. And, they need to be born again, period. But there was an incident that I saw on Facebook. It was a video. Many of you probably know what I'm talking about. let's see here. The title of the thing, of this deal, is Unhinged Leftist Has Mental Breakdown, Refuses Service to Trump Supporter in Vape Shop. Now, I'm going to say something here. I'm going to say something about this, okay? I am not for people who smoke. Okay, I'm not for smoking. I'm not for this vaping that people are into nowadays that they will use to get out of smoking. I'm not for that. We should all take care of our bodies. We need to take good care of ourselves. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. But here's the thing. So this man goes to this vape shop to get a particular thing, for I think his wife. Well, this owner, well not the owner, but one of the employees refuses to serve this guy because he has a Make America Great Again hat. Okay, he has a Make America Great Again hat. He has it on his head. And he's refused service because of that hat. And he actually ends up recording the whole incident. And apparently, I guess the company eventually, you know, it got into a big old thing and actually, the company actually fired the employee for what they did, which I think is good. People who act in a certain way shouldn't, you know, it's disrespectful to treat customers that way. Let's put it that way, amen. But the title of it is Unhinged Leftist Has Mental Breakdown and Refuses Service to Trump Supporter and Vape Shop. So, there is this, this video comes out of Atlanta, Georgia. And, so this guy goes in and, he, is a Trump supporter, and this employee, refuses to serve him because he's a Trump supporter. And he calls him a bigot, a racist, and basically, I'm not going to repeat the words because, you know, corrupt communicate, evil communications corrupt good manners. But he basically said almost every curse word that you could find in the book, like called him the F word and a whole bunch of other words that I don't have the decency to repeat. But he calls him by every name almost in the book, and starts yelling and shouting and screaming at him because the fact that, just because that he was a Trump supporter. And he told him to leave and threatened to call the cops on him and stuff like that. And he actually pushed back and threatened to call to sue him and all that stuff. And said, if you don't give me the service that, you know, I need, I'm going to call and basically sue you. Well, eventually, you know, I can't remember the exact video, and I really don't want to play it due to the wording, but it got such a big outburst rage that I think he just sort of left. He never got his business. Now, let me tell you something. People who behave in such a manner as that are brainwashed, leftist, indoctrinated zombies that need to be saved. Here's why I call the leftists zombies. Okay? A zombie is a metaphor. A zombie is a metaphor. Okay? And it's a metaphor because if you think of what zombies do, they go around and eating corrupt flesh, and they can't get enough of it. Well, a lost person, when they sin, that's what sin does to a lost person. Sin can become so irresistible to a lost person that their flesh can't get enough, so they have to continue doing it and 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 doing it. You see the comparison there. But people like this employee was behaving disrespectful. And here's the thing. This person that was being cursed at, okay? I will say this. I have to admire him because this is something that he did I like. Okay. He said he basically told and there was a black man that was there, and he was, I think, waiting to be waited on. And this guy that was being cursed at, he basically said out loud, he said, I love this person and I love you too. He told the person that was cursed, the person that was being cursed at told the employee that he loved him. Okay? Now, why do I say that? It's because Jesus said that we're supposed to love our enemies. We're to bless those who curse us. I think that he demonstrated a piece of that in his life. Like, he demonstrated a piece of that to show that he wasn't going to be hateful towards them. He was going to be loving towards them, even though that this man didn't deserve it. That right there is called grace. Amen? That's grace. And that right there, okay, I don't know whether he's born again or not. I don't know. But that right there, he was giving grace. This man gave grace to that worker. And yet that worker was getting, that worker was so paranoid, so left-wing, so out of it. He just hate, I mean, he's a brainwashed leftist. That's what he is. But he needs to be saved. He needs Jesus. Just as you, for all those who are watching that are believers, just as you needed Jesus at one point in your life, this employee that was disrespectful, probably brainwashed, and was very hateful, he also needs Jesus. He needs to be saved. Amen? He needs to be saved. Now, what that employee did was not right, and the company fired him for it, and that's good. He should be fired, because that is not how you treat customers. He should never have treated customers based on political beliefs. They shouldn't even, and that should go as well, definitely, along with religious beliefs as well. Okay, no employment place should discriminate based on religion or based on political beliefs. Amen. They shouldn't discriminate. But apparently this leftist person was doing something very inappropriate and was being very discriminatory. And it wasn't right. Okay? So anyways, I just wanted to share that. That was something that stuck out in the news today. Now, speaking of grace, I'm going to open up this nice hymn book and I'm going to sing. There's a song I want to sing that fits kind of with grace. And we all know it. It's Amazing Grace. So with that said, you're all going to all hear me sing a cappella, Amazing Grace. But before I do, let me get a drink of water here. And I'm going to go ahead and sing, and we'll sing and then we'll dive right into the message. Amen. All right. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. Amen. That was Amazing Grace. That is about as good as my singing can ever get, but I love singing, so I'm just going to sing. Amen. So, that's going to be it for now. So, like I said, we're going to be talking about living, being a living epistle. So, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 3, go through we're going to start in verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 through 3. And this is what it says. Actually, I'm going to leave the cap on that, off that, so I can just drink my water when I need to. It says this: "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Amen. Now, it's interesting that it is not by stone, but it is the Spirit of the living God that writes on the fleshly tables of the heart. Okay. Now, that caught my attention. Tables of the heart, okay? Now, there is a place, okay? There is, and we're going to go there. So, if in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, tells us what is written on our hearts. Okay, Jeremiah 31, 33. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with thee, the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Okay? God says he was going to write his law in their inward parts. The law. The law. Hang on a second. Turn with me to Joshua. Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate it therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Listen, the book of the law. This is the book, the whole book of the law. Now here's what I'm saying by that. Okay? I'm not saying that we're under the law, by no means. We are under grace. Okay? But Jesus, even in the New Testament, gives us commandment to love the Lord your God, amen, and to love others as ourselves. These are the two that he gave to us. Okay? And so let me tell you something. When you take a look at the Ten Commandments, okay, I'm not even sure why I'm going through this way, but there's probably a reason for it, okay? But there is 10 commandments. Half of the commandments deal with loving the Lord your God. The other half deals with loving, basically loving, loving others. Okay? So, God has put and wrote in our hearts His law. Okay? In which He has put and wrote in our hearts His word. And His word. Amen? He wrote in us His word. And God does not do anything contrary to His word. And God will use His people, and He calls His people as living epistles. Living epistles. He calls us to be living epistles. Okay, an epistle is a letter. Okay? We are to be called living epistles. We are called that is because our lives need to reflect God's word. And if you're born again today, you are called to being a living epistle. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Okay, to being a living epistle is to have your life reflected. Okay, is your life reflects the word of God. Okay, now here's why I brought the heart issue up. Jesus said that what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart. Okay? What you say and do comes out of your heart. Okay? We are to be living epistles in which the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has wrote in our hearts His law, His word. My question to you is, are you willing For those of you that say who are saved, but may not be saved, and I don't know that. I don't know who's saved and who isn't. That's between you and God. But if you're not saved, will you submit to Christ? And even believers, will you submit and surrender parts of your life that you may be a holy, acceptable, living sacrifice, a living epistle? We are called to being a living epistle. Okay, let me read verse 3 again. Okay? Actually, Let me read verse 2 and 3 again. It says, "Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men." You know, men can read your actions. My question is, will your actions reflect Scripture? Will your actions reflect the law of God, the Word of God? Does your actions exemplify faith? An example of this, Father Abraham. Abraham was a living epistle because he had faith in God. My question is to you is, do you have faith in God? Have you put your faith and trust in God? Have you trusted God as your Savior? And is your Lord. Amen. We all men can read your actions. Okay, let's not be ignorant of that. Your actions speak louder than words. Abraham had faith. Okay, his actions, his works exemplified his faith in God. That's living epistle. My question is, are you like Father Abraham? Jesus said, if you were the children of Abraham, you would have done the works of Abraham. Will you be like Father Abraham, and will your works exemplify your faith? Faith without works is dead. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Jesus Christ wants your heart today. Will you give it to Him? Will you give it to Him? Now, here I want to get into some things here tonight. We are to be, Jesus Christ calls us to be light. He calls us to be salt and light. Amen. And so, let's see here. Here we go. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Okay. Let your light so shine before men. Okay, to let your light shine is to be a godly example. And to let your light shine is to. And by the way, when you read, and actually we're going to be getting into this verse, but in Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Are you letting your light shine today? To let your light shine is to love others and do what God has commanded you to do. When you do what God has commanded you to do from His Word, and you've put your faith and trust in Him, and the thing is, if you're saved by faith, you are an epistle. So to be a living epistle is to let your light shine. The question I have for you is, are you letting your light shine? Are you being a living epistle? That's the question I have for you. Are you being a living epistle? Because if not, we need to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Amen? That's what Paul says. Okay? Now, sorry, let me get a drink of water here. Okay. We're not quite on the salt part yet, but we're getting there. So like I said, Matthew 5:14, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. To be a living epistle is to, part of it is to let your light shine. Are you letting your light shine today? Think about that. Are you letting your light shine? And by that, what I mean by letting your light shine is your works and actions reflecting your faith in Christ. Because that is the biggest, that's going to be a big key on being a living epistle for others. Okay? Let's continue on. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the... Okay, so Jesus is saying that he speaking of himself, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9:5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. See, Jesus is the light of the world, but he also calls us a light in the world. But that light is not our light. That light is the light of that is Jesus Christ shining. Jesus is the light of the world. He calls us the light of the world. The light that we have that shines is not our own light. That is the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the light of Jesus Christ. I just lost my thought. What was I going to say here? Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and we are that light. We are also called to be lights of the world, and it is not our light. The light is Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Word, and whom dwells within us. Amen? He dwells within our hearts. Think about it. Think about it. Jesus Christ dwells within our hearts, okay? Declared to be... Okay, so going back in 2 Corinthians 3, okay? For as much as ye are manifested, declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, is in your heart. And Jesus Christ is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is that Word. And Joshua, it says, let not the book, not, okay, hang on. Joshua 1:8. Okay, the book of the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate on it. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Okay? The book of the law, that is the Bible. Jesus Christ is the Word. Is the Word of God dwelling within your hearts? See, God is not going to do anything against His Word. Anything that God does in your life and tells you and instructs you to do, when you're obedient to His Word, Jesus Christ dwelling within your heart, you are being a living epistle. And it is the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that writes on it, on fleshly tables of the heart. Jesus came to fulfill the law and the prophets. And He did. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Amen. God said He will write. He will write. God has written the law in our inward parts, in our heart. God wrote the Word in our hearts. Wow, isn't that amazing? God wrote His Word in our hearts. And when you become born again, you become a living epistle. Why? Because God will convict you of your wrongdoings, and God will lead you by truth. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He calls us the light, and yet He dwells within our hearts. Jesus Christ is the Word. He had fulfilled the law and the prophets. Wow, isn't that amazing? Now, so Jesus says we're to let a light shine. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if thou shalt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. So Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. Isn't that amazing? Let me tell you something. Where were we created from? We were created from the ground, and God, and by the way, when we were created from the dust of the ground. But salt is a preserver. Amen. Salt is a preserver, and it's the Holy Ghost that helps us to retain water. Why? Because the Holy Ghost will lead you into truth. Amen. When you mix water and salt, you get salt water. And salt water preserves, doesn't it? That's amazing, isn't it? That is amazing. All right, so we need to be an example. To be a living epistle, we need to be an example. I want us to turn to Romans. I believe Romans 8. Or, hang on. Let's see here. Actually, let's see here. There's a fellow brother that brought something to my attention, and it was actually really good, and I just want to see where it was. Where was Romans 12? Romans 12. Just turn with me to Romans 12. This will probably be the last place I'll be, and then we'll close it off. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We are to be a living sacrifice. That's another part of being a living epistle. My question is, are you living a life of sacrifice? Are you living a life of serving others, sacrifice, giving your tithes and your time and everything you have to God? Amen. This life is not about being selfish. It's not about blessed. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. And a lot of times there are going to be things we have to sacrifice in life. And by the way, that is going to be the greatest example of having to being a living epistle. Jesus said there is no greater love for a man to lay his life down for his friends. And that is a sacrificial love. My question for you today is, do you have a sacrificial love for others? Because I'm going to tell you something. That is the greatest love that is the greatest love ever. Is sacrificial love. What I mean by that is I don't mean sacrificing yourself on a cross. What I mean is putting others' needs ahead of your own. Amen? Are you willing to do that? It says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? For I say the through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dwelt to every man in the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, for all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one of another. Having them gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, on he that exhorteth, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Listen, as we read this, this is stuff that we need to do. Amen? If you want to be a living sacrifice, a living epistle, okay, there are certain things that we need to do. And when you read this, this is all stuff to help you become a living epistle. Amen? Now, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with some... let's see here. I already did that one. Let's see. Okay. Be kindly affectionate one to another, with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Amen. Let's see here. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 3:2. 1 Timothy 3:2. Okay. This is the qualifications for a bishop. Okay? A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. My question is, do you have good hospitality today? Do you have good hospitality to others? Because Paul says, some have entertained angels unawares. Will you be a good and faithful living epistle? A living epistle to Christ. By being faithful and obedient to God. Okay? Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. So you want to know something? That's kind of what happened with this guy that was being cursed at that store. This man told that employee that he loved him, even though that he cursed at him and said every single word in the book. That was a curse word. He said that he loved him and he loved everybody that was there. Regardless of all the negative stuff that he said. Now, I don't know if he was born again or not, but that should be an example to us believers that we should love others. Jesus said, if you love others, people will know you're my disciples. Amen? So bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not your own selves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ will avenge you, but let him take it. Let me tell you something. Man will screw things up. If you don't believe me, you should come and see what I did to my laptop. I screwed it up big league. My laptop screwed up. It doesn't work properly anymore because I thought I was intelligent enough to fix the thing. And apparently I was about as foolish into thinking that as anything else. I screwed it up. I didn't fix it. Okay. Man will screw things up. Man should not take vengeance. God will take vengeance. You know why? Because God can properly take vengeance. because he knows how to do it properly. Okay? Therefore, if mine enemies hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals on fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, really quickly, let's see here. What was it? See here. Let's see here. I want to go somewhere. Let's see here. I wonder where. I can't remember where it is. I gotta go all the way down here. Okay, I think it's Matthew 25. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Let's see here. Actually, let's see here. I wonder if it is. I don't know if it's Matthew 25. I thought it was. But maybe I am wrong. Let's see here. Here we go. Okay, I was in the right chapter. So Matthew 25. Okay, let's start. It's not 20. Okay, Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall say to the sheep on his right hand, He shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw thee a stranger, and took thee, or naked, or clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these brethren, ye have done it unto me. Right there. Did you catch that? Jesus said that whatever you have done unto these, you've done unto me. Okay? Let me tell you something. That is an example right there of what being a living epistle is. That right there is what being a living epistle is, a good example of it. Amen. So here's what I want to say to wrap everything up. To be a living epistle, you need to first and foremost be born again. And when you're born again, you're spirit-filled and sealed. by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost writes on, and the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost writes on your heart. Amen. He works on your heart. When you become born again, and when you grow, and when you become faith, and when you are obedient and faithful, when you give good hospitality, when you do things unto others, you are presenting yourself not just as a living and holy, living sacrifice, but you're presenting yourself as a testimony in which people can read and look at, and you would present yourself as a living epistle for all men to read. When you are obedient to God and when you are faithful in that which you have, you are being a living epistle. You are being a light. You're being salt. You are being an example that people will take a look at and will say that that man has a good testimony. And when people read, when they read that living epistle, they might be converted. This is why we need to present ourselves as having a good testimony. Avoid the appearance of evil. That can damage your testimony. Okay? Avoid the appearance of evil. When you're faithful and obedient to God, you are a living epistle. You know why? Because then you are a light and you are salt. And when people see that, they might say, I want what he wants. And they can, and that can lead them to the Lord. And by the way, an epistle is a letter. Okay? You are a living love letter that God sent to a lost and dying world. My question is, will you accept that? Will you accept that that God can use you as a love letter to those who are lost and dying? Because we need to be light and salt. We need to love others by telling them the truth. And we need to present ourselves as a living and holy, acceptable living sacrifice unto God. When we do that, we become a living epistle. And God wrote his word in our hearts. He wrote his law. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. This book of the law is written in our hearts. Amen. Anyways, here's what I want to say. Here's believers, for those of you that are watching either by Facebook, YouTube, or sermon audio, I want to challenge you. Are you being light and salt? Are you being the living epistle that God wants you to be? Because the Bible talks about a sin that's unto death. Okay? The sin unto death is committed by a believer. And when a believer commits that sin unto death, God's going to take him home. It'll be a premature death. Now, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. But here's the thing. Here's what I want to challenge you on. Our dearly beloved brother Paul has advised us to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. I want to challenge you, believers. Are you being a living epistle for not just your loved ones, but for others around you? Are you being salt and light in a lost and dying world? Are you being the living epistle that God wants you to be? Because if not, then there's some things that you may need to hand over and give up. And there's some things you need to examine. Amen. Non-believers, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. You can know today. You can know today. If you don't know, if you don't know heaven's going to be your home, you can know that today. Amen. You can know that today. Okay? You can know that today. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, and he came, and if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. All you have to do is sincerely go before the Lord with a sincere heart and admit to him that you have sinned. And admit to him that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Confess your sins. Ask him to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and to cleanse you and to wash you. Ask him into your heart and life. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit. And most of all, putting your faith and trust in him and thanking him for saving you. We walk by faith, but not by sight. Amen. Walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, I love you guys. I don't want you taking anything that I say for truth. Okay? I want you to take everything I say and you match it up with this book. Okay? If what I say does not match with this book, then let God be true and every man a liar. Okay? And if I'm wrong, I pray and ask that God will rebuke and correct and chasten me for what I did wrong and show me where I'm wrong. And I will have to give an account for that. But if I'm right, I pray and ask that he will show you what I'm talking about. Amen. If I'm right, then I pray and ask that he will show you what I'm talking about. Amen. So listen. I'm going to close it off. I'm going to just sort of close it off. I'm going to sing a cappella again from this lovely hymn book, Praise. I'm going to sing verse 1 and 4, the first and last verse. And while I sing this, I want you guys to think. Think about what the words are saying. Amen. So, let me get some water here. It's the hymn I'm going to be singing is on 301. It's called Softly and Tenderly. Okay. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised. Promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Come home. Come home, ye who Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Amen. Listen, Jesus is calling. Are you willing to step out? Are you willing to step out and come to Jesus? Are you willing to step out and put your faith in Jesus Christ? Amen. Are you willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and be born again and be spirit-filled and be a living epistle, being a light, being salt? Amen. Because that's what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to being living epistles. We are to be living epistles for God. Amen. Listen, I love you guys. that was my singing. I'm going to close it off with one more hymn. Okay, one more hymn. And then we'll be done. I'm going to close out, and what I mean by that, we're going to close off the program with one last hymn. Let me see if I can sort of pull it up here. What in the world? Oh, there we go. Yes. Okay, we're going to close it off with one more hymn, all right? And we'll go from there. All right, guys, listen, I hope that this message was a good one for you. I hope that you are encouraged by the preaching, hopefully by the singing. I don't have that good of a singing voice, but Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. So, you know, I hope that you were blessed by that. I hope that the message was a blessing to you. Listen, I love you guys. Like I said, if the good Lord willing, tomorrow I might do a live devotional. If not, then I want you guys to stay tuned for Monday night at 11 o'clock, between 11 and 11:15, and we're going to do a countdown to the new year. And the purpose of it is to look forward and press forward towards the mark. Amen. Listen, this is Pastor Brandon. I'm signing off for the evening. God bless you. I love you guys. You guys have a great rest of your weekend. Have a great time in the Lord's house tomorrow. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And remember, think Bible. Amen. Think Bible. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time. Love you guys. Have a good night. See you. Bye.